Not created specifically for horse racing. Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com. Nominate now for Penn National's biggest day of the season, the $400,000 Grade 2 Penn Mile and the $150,000 Penn Oaks will both run Friday, June 2nd, on a card that also includes four Pennsylvania bread stakes, each with a $100,000 purse. Call the racing office at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse, 800-233-8238. That's 800-233-8238. Nominate.
Would you believe that champions weren't measured by rings, but by a crown? That the history books were written on dirt? That the greatest of all time was a horse?
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Experience the magic at this year's Belmont Stakes as we honor the 50th anniversary of Secretariat's legendary Triple Crown triumph. Join the celebration at Belmont Park on Saturday, June 10th. Tickets on sale now at BelmontStakes.com.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. We're back, and we'll call it hour three. And as we come back, Mark Cassie is going to join us. But, you know, I just hearing that ad for the Belmont Stakes this year, and having seen Adam Colonnais at Gulfstream 2 weeks ago, Adam's going to come on. He has got some pictures that he has unearthed that his father took of Secretariat. He's been putting them on. You know, Adam's not a big, he's not really a big promoter, honestly, of all the great, you know, Bob Coglione's photographs. You know, he's there for anybody that wants to buy them and order them and whatever. But in preparation for this Secretariat 50th anniversary, Adam has unearthed some pictures that even he says he's never seen before of his dad's. He's been kind of going through negatives and finding stuff. So he said, I'd love to come on and talk about, you know, these pictures we're finding. So we'll get Adam, and he'll tell you, you know, those of you that are Secretariat, you know, what can we call you? Secretariat files, I guess. There's going to be some great imagery over the next, you know, two months. Mark Cassie is standing by, and Mark, when you have a big operation like you do in the greens, there's going to be odd confluences of performance, and never more so than Friday, Saturday, Sunday for your team.
Yeah, it was actually Friday and Saturday. We didn't do anything on Sunday, Easter. But
That's right.
It was interesting.
Do we start with Papilio and then kind of jump around, because obviously that has to be exciting. I mean, when you get a horse like this, sometimes you don't really know what you've got until they come out and they, you know, they start to establish themselves.
I agree. But, Friday was obviously Ashland Day, and Wonder Wheel disappointed. So I went from, I think I went home and went to bed around 8 o'clock. It was a rough day. And then, even though I was very proud of Webb Slinger, I thought Webb Slinger ran very well in the Transylvania wide trip, no pace. So I came away from that pleased. Obviously, a Wonder Wheel, I came away scratching my head.
All right, you know what? Let's get the Wonder Wheel elephant out of the room. What?
I have no idea.
She certainly wouldn't be. Not only would she not be the first 3-year-old. I mean, let's be honest. Tom Amos is dealing with something very similar with Hoosier Philly.
Right.
But it's well established that there can be precocious, particularly fillies, that then as they're maturing, you may write this year off, and she comes back as closer to being, you know, a mature filly and then a mare, and is different. Shug has dealt with this with Phipps fillies.
I don't see it that way, Steve. One, all she had to do was run her 2-year-old numbers back, and she wins. Every indication to me has been, I've said, you know, she's trained really well. I thought her race in the Suncoast was very good. The problem is, and now we're running into it, is, you know, here, I've got a Breeders' Cup winner. She's not even in the Oaks yet because she hasn't qualified, so what happens is you run these horses, you run them as 2-year-olds, and you know, she runs a great race in the Breeders' Cup. She won the Alcibiades, multiple grade one stakes winner. At some point, you got to give them a break. And I gave her a break. We came back in the Suncoast. Suncoast was a little quicker back than I wanted to run. But my only other choice, if I wanted to stay south, was the Devona Dale, and it was one turn. So I opted to run her a little early in the Suncoast. The bad part about that was then there was going to be a pretty good lull in between that and the Ashland. But it's difficult. It's difficult. So we want these horses to run, compete as 2-year-olds, and then you give them a break, like I said, and now I'm scrambling. I'm scrambling to get points so I can run in the Oaks. So it's difficult. And look, she didn't bring her best race. There's no question. In the Ashland, it was weird. It was a weird race. I don't know if you saw afterwards, but after the race, she took off with Tyler and ran, you know, galloped out in front of everybody. She wasn't a tired horse. She had a special called on her, so she went to the detention barn. It took a lip chain to get her back from the detention barn back to her barn. So she wasn't a tired horse. I don't have a good explanation for you. But she is not, you know, some of the 2-year-olds you talk about, they're usually good sprinters. And then when we start stretching out, they just don't stretch out. But that's not the case with Wonder Wheel. And I mean, Wonder Wheel won the Breeders' Cup, had all kinds of trouble. Won, you know, finished strong, and then couldn't be pulled up after the race. So I don't buy that. I just think she had a bad day. Things didn't work out quite the way we should, and so we're heading to Churchill. And the Oaks. Question is whether we'll get to run.
And you know, I haven't looked as closely at the Oaks scenario. Where are you? Let me pull that up.
We're 15th.
All right. So you're right. There's somebody. Yeah. You'll
won $1.5 million, multiple grade one champion, and yeah, she's 15th.
Well, this is a whole another topic that seemed to bubble to the surface more on the boys' side than the girls. But you know, the concept of you know, the point, the way the points are spread around, and then adding a fifth set of points, essentially, to the, you know, the idea, the Churchill's idea was that it would get people to run more often, and garner, you know, and get a toehold with 10 or 20 in some cases, or even less, and then go.
But
from
what
there.
You're really doing is there's no incentive to run the 2 year olds. So it's all about running
right.
3 or 4 times in the winter time, whether it's, you know, wherever it could be, Sunland Park, or you know, it's just it's I don't really understand it. Obviously, it is what it is, and we've had a chance. It, you know, it's nobody's fault but our own that we're not right now. We're outside looking in, but almost a month away. So I feel pretty good that we'll end up getting it.
Yeah, and I'm just looking up and down the for those that haven't seen the Oaks list: Wet Paint, Affirmative Lady. That's the Grand Motion filly. Defining Purpose, the McPeak Upsetter. Pretty Mischievous of Brendan Walsh's. South Lawn of Norm's. Promise Her America, the Ray Handel. Gazelle winner, Shidabudi for Chad Brown, who's got a win and a placement, right?
Yeah. And Steve, there's a couple of good fillies behind us. I mean, you've got Todd's filly.
Yep, that, Julia Shining.
Julia's Shining. You've got Brad's filly.
Punchbowl.
You know, yeah, Punchbowl. Yeah. So it's Hoosier, interesting. Yeah.
And Hoosier filly is behind you as well. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but is Hoosier filly even aiming for the Oaks anymore?
I think he might turn back. You would think maybe the ALs or something like that. Some other ones, the rest of that list, Tell Me No Lies, the Redicop Miller, Botanical of Ellen J. Foxwoods and Brad, Dorth Vader, who had a very good winter. I mean, Yates kept trotting her out there,
right.
Won the Devona Dale, Gambling Girl, the Rapoli place horse, right? And she also ran a fair amount. The Alley Schluck for Brad, Flying Connection for Fincher, and Mimi Kakushi, Mimi Kakushi, that I'm.
That's the horse. That's the horse from Dubai. Is it?
Yes, yeah, from the Oaks. Yeah, from from the UAE Oaks. All right.
So anyways, we moved her over. She's at Churchill. She's gonna, and we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, we'll hope for the best, and it sure feels like there'll be at least one defection which would get you in. Let's then talk about, I've got a bunch of things that I can throw at you, but Papilio and some backstory here. And, you know, second North American start was very good in the Here Comes the Bride, and you know, Dance Macabre beat you by a head, but that was an encouraging, you know, first start, and yet she still went off like fourth choice in here, which surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised myself. So we got her, I want to say we got her in November, we got her at our training center in Ocala. Gave her a little bit of a break, and she trained great. I mean, we had her down at Palm Meadows, and we were expecting a big race, you know, with her first start, and she didn't disappoint. Kind of, she got bothered. You know, a lot of people thought it was her fault in the first turn in the Here Comes the Bride, but what happened was the horse ducked out and bothered her. It wasn't her fault. And then, of course, she ran green down the lane. She did it again. If she runs in a straight line, who knows how good she is. I think she kind of goes, she likes the competition, and when she sees a horse, she wants to come over and kind of, you know, run with them. But she has, and Javier would agree with me, she has a tremendous turn of foot, which is, you know, always a good thing to have. Teppan had it, a really good turn of foot, and she definitely has a good turn of foot.
Who found this horse?
John Green, as far as I, you know, John, I can remember John, you know, running by me and saying that, you know, they were looking at this filly and what did I think? And, so I don't know if it was, you know, Medallia there, that's tailor made, guys. DJ does, they have a lot of their mares with tailor made and so do a fair amount of things with tailor made. So I don't really know the answer to that one. I'm just glad they did.
Nice. No, yeah. You mentioned it's DJ, Medallion Racing, mm-hmm. Barry Fowler, and Parkland came in.
Right.
And I'm, you know, based on that, that record,
yeah.
It's interesting because she competed in the Moygler at the Cura in September and was 6 feet and 10, and you know she really hadn't distinguished herself in group company, so I'm wondering if maybe she was a little bit of a value compared to
I'm not really sure. Obviously obviously with John Green as DJ, you know, obviously sure. He would have found her, and I appreciate, you know, John and the Greens have been very loyal to me, and they don't usually get involved unless, you know, ultimately I'm going to train them. So I appreciate that. They have been, you know, big supporters of ours and very loyal.
Well, you mentioned Web Slinger. Let's slip that in, and then I want to ask about that maiden winner, the New York bred, in a second. But I thought Web Slinger ran very well. Arrived late on the scene. The pace was moderate in the Transylvania, and frankly, you know, we did talk on Monday to Vicki Oliver, and I don't know about you, but I was shocked that was her first stake win of any kind at Keeneland, considering that she always wins at Keeneland.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was shocked myself, but happy for them. They're, you know, wonderful people and good connections, and happy for them. And I was very happy with our colt. Unfortunate for us is, you know, Web Slinger only has one way of running, so everything is based on what others do, and so you're kind of at the mercy of what goes on in front of you. Avi came back and said, you know, I had so much horse at the half mile pole, he said I just couldn't sit still any longer, and so he ended up, you know, fairly wide. But I think that horse has a big race in him. He's, you know, obviously he won the race at Monmouth, the 500,000, but I think he, if things go right, he's probably as good as any of the three-year-old turf colts right now.
Well, and this division is shaping up really well. Obviously, Shug has got Talk of the Nation, who feels like the, you know, the engine on the train for this, you know, for this parade.
Yeah, that horse is a good horse. Yeah, that's the colt that won at Tampa, right?
Yeah, and
he's impressive. He's a good horse, and I don't know what happened to Chad's colt.
He wasn't happy with the he didn't want to run from the 13 or whatever, the 11 or whatever he was.
That horse, you know, I watched that horse break his maiden. He's impressive too.
Yeah. So
it's a nice group. Yep.
Definitely. And you know, I'm going to ask this. This is a Corinthian. This was a Ramsey bred, a Constitution out of a Heartspun mare, and an absolute bargain purchase. And this is something, you know, we've discussed this with Len and John at mm-hmm. sales, and you know they're willing to pay, you know, mid six figures, and they buy a few like these, and obviously this is why.
Yeah, well, we come. When I say we, Len, you know, John, we have a game plan, and we try to stick with it. Sometimes, you know, obviously, if it's good filly, they will step up. We think there's some residual, and we kind of go around. We find the horses we like, and if they fall in our price range, good. And if they don't, we go to the next one. And I was a little surprised that we bought Web Slinger in the June sale, and I know we had budgeting. We had thought he was going to bring more than what he did, so it was a pleasant surprise to get him for 50. I mean, I don't know how you can get much more consistent than Constitution. He's just a tremendous sire. I love them. I love the way they train. I love everything about them, and they stay sound, great attitudes. And, you know, we gilded him after the Breeders' Cup. He had a rough trip in the Breeders' Cup. He should have been right there in the Breeders' Cup. And we brought him home, and the Greens and John, they have no issues with gilding one, and we just thought, for, you know, long term, that it would make him a better horse, and I can already see the difference in him, you know, being a gilding.
Well, and that sometimes, you know, that we've had that discussion so often, people are like, oh, it's too bad you gelded him. Yeah, if we hadn't gelded him, he wouldn't be good. So it's
right, exactly. And there, I can tell you a few millionaires that I've trained in a Breeders' Cup winner. If they weren't geldings, they wouldn't have been Breeders' Cup winners.
Exactly.
So world approval would be one, you know. So yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
There you go. Let me, do you have an obvious spot? I mean, why wouldn't, out of curiosity, how about the Penn Mile for him?
For Web Slinger?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're going to go Churchill Downs. I think the long race? Yeah, the whatever it is on Derby Day.
The American turf.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like at Churchill, a lot of times speed will come back there. Speed's a little tougher a lot of times to run down at Keeneland. Hopefully there's some pace, and if they give him some pace, he'll come running.
I just, you know, I look at that. When you talk about that style, and I think back to that race at Saratoga, that 5.5, and he was running at the end, and actually
that was in the maiden race, and that's when we knew. Even Louis came back and said, this is a serious horse. He almost went over the hedge, dropped back to last, and came flying, and that was what made us, you know, decide to take him over and run him in the win-win. What was it?
Mama.
Now.
Yeah.
Win-win-win is Mrs. Weber.
That's right.
Of course. Now. Yeah, we won the now.
Which is a big pot, too. It's a $500,000 pot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Web Slinger, we'll keep watching. Tell us about what's funny is here's the New York bred that was actually pretty pricey. Was $250 or more, right?
Yeah, we got that. Was Len did that. That was John and I kind of snuck around us and got that one. He liked that horse a lot. He asked me what I thought of him, and she's a beautiful, beautiful filly, and was consigned by Becky Thomas, and the Greens have a great relationship with her, and he asked me, what do you think? And I said, she's a very nice filly. She's beautiful. She's a beautiful horse. And he called and bid on her and bought her.
Well, it happens to be from the ill-fated lieutenant, the Justify brother.
I'm guessing that's how he got his name.
Her name. That's a great
Stolen
point.
Future.
Stolen Future. Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the Greens are very, there's always something, a meaning behind it all. And I'm sure when I saw that, that has to do with her sire.
Yeah. This was a 6-furlong turf race, first couple of days of turf at Aqueduct. And so we'll watch for her. Dylan Davis aboard, paid $980. And
I told John, we ran her down at Gulfstream. And if anybody who follows me, you know, I'm fine if they win first time out, but it's not something that we get overzealous about. And I thought she ran pretty good, and I said to John after the race, I said, I think she'll win her next start when we send her to New York. And so every now and then I'm right.
There you go.
not often, but that one
Yeah. Stolen Future and a couple
she's
of others.
She's a nice horse. She has some ability, yep.
A few others to touch on. And where do you shake out after the Lafayette with Determinedly, who that had to be frustrating. I thought the turn back made tremendous sense for him.
Yeah, you know what? He may just be a tired horse, and maybe he's just not that good. He was a bit disappointing, but I'm not sure what I'm going to do with him just yet.
You know, he was competitive behind Jace's Road and Ray's Kane in the Gun Runner. I think you have to give him another race at Churchill, right? I mean,
probably. I think there's a two other than. Or something we're going to maybe try. Yeah, church.
Well, I think we did. We lose. I think we lost Mark there for a second. All right. Let me try and get. You know what? I think Casey, I may need your help here to get. May need your help to get Mark back. Yes, something just flickered here. I lost the internet here too. I think didn't I? Well, no, we're still good. I'm plugged in I'm plugged in on two different circuits here. Case, do you mind? Do you mind? Because I don't know if I can. How quickly I can get him back. And I've got to get... oh, boy, that's too bad. Yeah, no, the reason I mention getting Determinedly back on at Churchill, it broke the maiden by 7. And there's obviously some talent here. This is that Cairo Prince. I've talked about this horse a few times, Determinedly, because of Bailsy, Pat Kelly's nice mare that's the dam. There's something there. They'll figure out how to. Straighten them out, and Case. I'm having trouble communicating with Casey too. This is a little. All right, hang in here for a second, and we will figure out how to. Here, I can get you that, Case. Hold on one second. Provide that for you. All right. Got to change things up. You got to be nimble in this game when you're doing this. There you go. All right. So we'll leave that in Casey's hands. Tina's trying to reach me. There's a million things happening here at once. All right, give it a second, and we'll get Mark back. We also have to talk to... to Seth, so I got to figure out what went on there with the phones. At the worst case, we'll take care of it. But if I don't get the phone back, then all right. Well, I will wait and see if Case. I may need to give you a number of our man Jeremy too in Ireland. All right, but start. Yeah, let's get Case. Let's get Mark back first because I do have some. We're not going to miss a chance to. Get a few pushes, and I do have to ask him about Classic Car Wash too, who went into the Bluegrass only needing, I think, to probably be third or fourth, And so we'll see what the plan is there. Maybe he's a candidate. For a turn back as well. Let me grab the bluegrass. Wow. As usual, we have way too many charts and PPs to wade through. No, everything but. All right, I'll find it. Meantime, are you having trouble reaching him? Yeah, so maybe it was Mark's. That's possible. Because you know what? His phone did kind of... it's funny. Because I don't know if you noticed it, but there was a sort of a funny... A couple of seconds before... Not maybe a couple of minutes before it cut out. All right, good. Well, I'm certainly, if it's more his than mine, I'm relieved. Let me, I'm going to try one other. Let me try one other thing here, as well, before we abandon ship on Mark, and I think I maybe. Well, maybe not. There we go. All right. Yeah, we do.
I don't know what happened.
Either do I. I was trying to figure it out, and then Casey tried to get going, but for whatever reason, we were unable. Anyway, you're back, and I started to tell them about Classic Car Wash. What? Let's get a read there. Mark, on Classic Car Wash, coming out of Bluegrass now. What? How do you regroup with him? Why does? Just amazing. Just amazing. How many? But you know. I'm not sure what happened there.
I hear funny clicks and then you're gone.
All right, so it's we can't tell if it's mine or yours, but I was asking about Classic Car Wash and what you do for me.
I'm just going to give him a break. You know, he ran hard a few times and he's not a big old horse anyways, and I think he's just tired, so I'm going to give him a little break.
All right, fair enough. Well, then. Let's catch up on the rest of the Keeneland action, and who else you're going to trot out here between now and Churchill?
Yeah.
What do we got?
We got strong quality running. He's a nice horse. We're excited about him. He's in tomorrow, I believe, and then we have a few others. Yes.
All right. Today at Keeneland, Counter Spy.
Yeah.
Comes back in the starter.
He runs well. Yeah, you know, he's got some limited ability, but he looks like he should be, you know, run well in that spot.
Queen Judith, you mentioned, or a strong quality you mentioned, Queen Judith as well. This is on Thursday.
Right. Yeah. You know, she's a filly that I've always kind of felt she's a little bit of an underachiever. Gave her a break and, you know, hoping to have a good summer with her. So tomorrow or, yeah, Thursday, it's, you know, it's her first race back off of a layoff, but she should run well.
Excellent. How many? I see you got plenty at Gulfstream. How many do you still have and are keeping down there?
We keep usually around 30 for the work this summer. Yep.
How about Bobby O coming off that place?
He lost a tough one.
Yeah,
he lost a tough one. I'm not really sure what I'm going to do with him. He could possibly go to the Penn Mile, or I was thinking maybe running him at Woodbine. I forget what the name of the King Corey is. I believe, 7/8 on the Tapeta. Maybe give him a try on the Tapeta.
Interesting. Well, and given the mention, we're not far off from the start of the season. Some early thoughts. I would imagine there's got to be something soon for Ticker Tape Home as soon as you get back to Woodbine.
Yeah, she actually had a little bit of a break. She went to Live Oak, and she's going to Woodbine tomorrow. Yeah.
Excellent. Candy Overload?
First race there for him is, I'm trying to think of the name of the stake. There's a stake. He's not eligible in any allowance races, so he's going to run in the first sprint stake, which is middle of May, I believe.
And since we're going back to a couple of weeks ago to Tampa, that other Justify colt, Champion's Dream.
Yeah, I'm not sure where he is. They sent him over to Hartley and Dorenzo after his last race, and he's just getting some R&R. I don't know what's up with him, but. I don't know. Maybe might be a better. It'd be interesting to see that horse run on the grass, or even sprinting. I'm just not sure that he's a Derby type horse.
No, fair enough. You have a couple other. There were a handful of 3-year-olds that were turning up in different spots. One of the other DJ horses, and you mentioned Constitution. What about Mirandarites?
Yeah, I'm going to try him back on the grass. He's gotten a little unlucky in his last couple starts. He's a better horse than what he's shown. He's going to be running a one other than, but on the grass at Keeneland.
Because he broke the maiden at Turfway nicely early.
Yeah,
in the year.
And then he's kind of, he had a couple troubled trips. And again, he's one that I think. Could be a better horse than you've seen so far, at least I'm hoping.
Well, the Cassie team, they'll be layers of.
Yeah, we're getting ready to start. You'll see. We're gonna start firing. I was disappointed to see that Jim Lawson is stepping away. He's done a great job at Woodbine, and he's. He's retiring as CEO, so that was disappointing.
What he was able to marshal through during pandemic, the leadership he provided to keep everybody together, and from the management side, right. and the staffing, and for the horsemen, and I don't know if he's gotten enough credit for it.
No, he hasn't. Woodbine's got so many wheels rolling and big things happening that you're really not going to see some of the things that he initiated and got going for another, unfortunately, 10 years or so. But Woodbine's got a bright future, and it has to do with Jim Lawson.
No, well put. And of course, the hotel and the casino, and there's.
Well, they're putting in a big train station that's going to bring, people from downtown. It's a good location. They've got, it's a tremendous facility, and a lot of property just close to the airport.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things going on, and. I think you'll see. We've already seen, I think, Woodbine grow under his leadership and popularity south of the border. He deserves a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, well put. Mark Cassie, everybody, and Team Cassie, I appreciate it. And I'll see you.
I did get one answer for you.
Yeah.
John Green found Papilio.
All right. That was.
I was able to confirm that during your nice time playing phone tag. Okay.
I love it. Mark, I'll see you. We'll see you at Churchill.
Sounds good. Thank you, Steve.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Mark Cassie, everybody. And there we go. The Lawson news. Glad he I'm glad he introduced it and you know, so appropriately lauded what Jim accomplished at Woodbine. And you know, you heard from him all through pandemic as they were, you know, dealing with the provincial government that made it really tough. I mean, the stateside, we were getting, you know, racing was operating, and Jim Lawson kept, you know, trying to show the health officials and the provincial government in Ontario, you know, what we were doing in the United States, and that there was no reason why they couldn't be doing the same thing successfully at Woodbine, and yet it they made it so hard on them. But he got through, and hopefully we'll talk to Jim. We'll talk to Seth Merrow, who is standing by, and I apologize to everybody, Seth, for not getting to you last week when you promptly delivered a monster winner.
Oh, as soon as it came over, because I had it circled, it was going to be the one I was going to talk about on the show. I want to say Katori, but a first-time starter by Kara Conte, and I had it on top, but I called out the Cole Super in the race, too, and I want to say 28 bucks, and across the line, I thought, oh, I was in the green room, damn it.
I will not make that mistake again. I can't.
I don't know how long it's going to be before that happens again, though. Well, the Cole Super part, certainly. But, yeah, it was. And since I haven't talked to you in the meantime, let me take this opportunity to congratulate you on the award a couple weeks ago in Kentucky. But, you know, outstanding service, outstanding coverage of the racing industry, because it is well deserved. I remember the early days, I said to you in the JJ and Sam days, I said, you are built for this. You're a radio guy. If my horse racing predictions were as good, I'd be a rich man.
Well, I appreciate it, and it was really nice. It was really special. I hadn't planned. Being in Kentucky last week was not part of the original docket of activity, but there was no way to be honored like that, and couldn't miss it. So thanks again to the KTOB, KTA, and everything that goes in there. There's so many dedicated infrastructure organizations everywhere. It's not just in Kentucky. You know this. We talk about a lot of them. We can't get to all of them, but I can tell you categorically, things are really good in Kentucky right now, and you would have appreciated it. I went over to the Red Mile last week too, and saw the quarter horse races they're going to have for a couple of years until the Sandy Ridge facility gets open. But there's a lot going on, a lot of good things, Kentucky.
You could see that coming for the last couple of years, and I think it came to fruition and became really obvious this winter with a Turfway meet that kind of stood out and really got a lot of attention, I think, from players as well. But obviously, you know, we had the Kentucky Downs folks on with us this summer at Saratoga and talked about Kentucky Downs and how that's kind of changed things around in that portion of the year. So again, you could kind of see where things were going in Kentucky. But again, congratulations on the award. And for folks who don't know, I most of the year I'm doing 2 hours a week, and then Saratoga kicks up to the five. You're doing 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. And for people who don't realize, because you do make it seem very effortless, but it's not just the 3 hours. There's a lot of pre-production that has to go in and lining up the guests and getting all the information together and charts and past performances and replays. And so again, well done.
Thank you, Seth. I appreciate it. We are looking forward to coming home next week. We got a week in the home front, and the one thing, I'm sure I'll go into Saratoga a couple of times over the next week. We go home Friday night, but I'll be excited to see the activity over at the Oklahoma. And there's no harbinger of Saratoga summers better than the opening of the Oklahoma.
And and it is summertime weather on the way up here. I mean, we were in the 70s yesterday and the end of the week, you know, tomorrow and the next day they're talking 80s. So we may have skipped over spring, although I think next week we get back to springtime. But yeah, the weather has turned and it's that time of year. We knew that last week when Keeneland opened for horse players. Keeneland is kind of the robin on the front lawn, and spring is here. That also means Saratoga, not too far away.
No, we're getting excited. You got back into the routine after the Florida trip. I got a big kick out of you. I don't think I've talked to you since then. I got the big kick out of you out on the beach for a day.
A couple of days. I came back, actually flew out early Tuesday, so we wrapped up TV, you and I, Saturday morning, but I was trying to put together a little recap for Sunday morning, so I was, well, you were sitting right next to me. I was running back and forth to the winner's circle after the stakes races, trying to get a little video from connections and editing those together and send them back up to Albany. So by the end of the day on Saturday, I was kind of beat, but Sunday and Monday, little time on the beach, and it was gorgeous. And as compared to my early life and much of my life jumping in the ocean up in Maine, Florida water, much, much nicer. It's actually like bath water down there. Yeah, very nice down there.
I love it. Yeah. Because Dina and I, you know, she came for one day, one night, the weekend before, and she said she thought it was a little cold, but we did pop in a couple of times into the surf.
I was up at Deerfield Beach, and it was, they were also beautiful sunny days.
Yeah,
but the water was literally like bath water. It was beautiful, very good. And going back to that weekend, great racing down at Gulfstream, and you know, we've gone down and covered the Florida Derby before, and they always treat us great. Dave Joseph and the team down there really appreciate that. And Forte with the nice win when Maj went by in the turn. I thought he was toast. He came back. But I'm curious now. I think after last weekend and the retiming of the Florida Derby and a couple of points down on the buyer scale for Forte, I'm thinking Practical Move is going to wind up to be the favorite.
Nah, no way. No way. No way. Not a chance.
Bettors these days are so keyed into the buyer figures.
Not a chance.
I'm going to be intrigued. I think it's very, very possible.
Not a chance. Tim Yakteen, the name, you know, Yakteen and Ramon Vasquez is just not going to resonate the way that you know, that Pletcher, Ortiz, Rapoli, it's just not going to, no, can't see it.
I don't know. I'm interested. Like I say, bettors these, of course I will, no, bettors these days keying on the buyers, but a lot of the betting pool for Derby Day are not necessarily everyday type of players, so that may play into it as well. But I'm intrigued now, because and it's just intriguing overall. I think over the past few weeks, all the major Derby preps have set it up to be a kind of a fun Derby.
What? So that's interesting that you're that taken with him. What else?
I'm really taken with Angel of Empire, because I pulled him into the March 12th. Future pool of 38-1, so I'm really pulling for him. And I went through yesterday my future bets. I had a couple of pools, I had all others, and I have a few singles. And so I went through the top 20 points wise yesterday. And if it winds up to be those, I'm sure things will shake out differently. But if it wound up to be those, I'll have 11 horses live on the starting gate.
That's amazing. I mean, you've done this, you know, pretty consistently over the years.
And all others place into the Japanese horses, who I think are interesting as well. I grab those with the all others.
So, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, you and Rich Ang, you're the seer of seers, the prognosticator of prognosticators.
I would love to be out in Vegas and have a little bit of an opportunity. Well, I guess I don't have to be in Vegas maybe in these days, but jumping in the future pool on the NCAA tournament, Rich, I tip my cap to him on that play. They go into the finals and know you're going to wind up with a nice winning ticket. That was great.
Well, it was astounding. I mean, I don't know how else to characterize it, what he did, especially the way everybody was carrying on, that it was an impossible, you know, how could anybody have these four teams? I don't know. Rich Yang's had three of them, so all right. That's exactly how. All right, let's get a couple of plays, because I do want to get Jeremy Green in from ITM, and so give us Keeneland today, or did you go back to Tampa for more?
I have one at Keeneland, and I have three at Tampa, but it's the early double. Now, I did lose a horse in the early double, and so that kind of hurt a little bit, but I'd still maybe play around. The opener, I'm rolling the dice a little bit with a first-time starter. This is at Tampa. The opener's a 8,000 to 10,000 maiden claimer. There's a first-time starter called Shady Daisy by Klimt. Klimt's pretty good with firsters, 78 of them last year, 6 wins, 8 seconds, 10 thirds. There was a sibling called Little Mo that won its career debut, another sibling called Paulie Walnuts that won its career debut. So, my stats that I like to look at for first-time starters aren't necessarily as potent at a maiden 10 level. But a firster in a weak field like this, we're looking at 6-1 on the morning line. I'll play a little bit with Shady Daisy. Nicolina's the one to beat. I have it 9-7, 1-3. But for doubles, I'm going to play the 9. And in the second race at Tampa, I had the 3 on top at 5-1. That one's scratched, and maybe we're watching if that one comes back at some point soon, racing. But I have the 2, 8, and 7 now. I'll use those with the 9 in the first race. The 2 is obviously the one that's going to take the action. Jeanette's on fire. But Sorcet had 5 tries so far and hasn't done much. The race 2 back on turf, though, is pretty good. And if this horse gets back to that, probably gets it done. But Peace Fire, I think, is playable off the last race. Seemed to improve markedly there and maybe just getting good. And I thought Chief Again by Klimt, interesting win early, sire, let me put it that way. Goes over to the turf and moves up a little bit. 15-1, you'll probably get all of that. I thought Chief Again was a little bit interesting. So, again, the early double at Tampa. I'll play the 9 with the 2, 8, and 7. And then at Tampa, I'm going to go to the last race, the 9th today, maiden specials. I'm going to box it up on exact in here, 7, 8, 6, and 5. Again, I'm going to go with the firster, a couple of them in the mix here. Infamous No-No, the number 7 horse by Buchero, who obviously is very good first time out. Sibling called Irish Orchid won 2 of the first 3. Same for another sibling called Celtic City. So I thought Infamous No-No could be live in debut. Rainbow's Pride and Sophia's Prince both have, a resume. They've already started, and I think via the numbers, they're probably the horses that are going to take the attention, and justifiably so. But down in the third spot, and I went back and forth about moving this horse up because I think we'll get a price because the trainer is kind of unknown here. That does scare me a little bit. But Tis a Tale, the number 6 horse at 20-1. Vernon Bush on board, the incredible Vernon Bush. The sire, Gervin, 49 first-time starters last year, 10 wins, 2 seconds, 5 thirds. There's a sibling called Lisa's Big Top Drama. Only had a couple of starts, but 3rd and 2nd, so showed a little bit there. So I'm going to put Tis a Tale in the exacta mix and hope that one gets in. So the 9th at Tampa, I'm going to box up 7, 8, 6, and 5. And over at Keeneland, I get one to squeeze in for Wesley Ward, first-time starter off the AE list after the scratches. The 2nd at Keeneland, I'm going to go 13, 12, and 4. Warren Mountains had a sibling called Race to Urga that in the first, 8 starts had 5 wins, 1 in the 2nd career start, Malibu Moon on top, Wesley Ward, 2-year-old sprinting at Keeneland. So the 13 looks live. Hibernacle is another Wesley Ward runner, had a sibling called Blues Power that won on debut. So I think that one's live as well. But the price that's maybe a little bit interesting in the mix is Next Dot. There are some siblings that showed a little bit of something early on. And with Cairo Prince on top, I thought this one was interesting. At 10-1, I'll throw that one in the mix as well. So the second Akeem on 13, 12, and 4.
Very nice. So you're going right to the wire with Tampa, huh? You're not turning back.
I'm losing you.
Yeah. You're playing Tampa straight through to the end. Now, I think we're... Did we...
There we go. I have you.
You better now? There you go.
Yeah.
I was just saying, you're sticking it out at Tampa. You and Jason Beam.
Well, on a Wednesday, it's a good product.
I won't argue. It is funny because, you know, for so many years, you know, the big weekends would come and you know, a lot of these signals, you know, they would wrap up. I mean, Gulfstream now runs through the wire and Oaklawn is running, you know, straight through to Derby Day. And the tendency is to turn your attention in other directions. That's all. It's just, that's my tendency, I'll tell you.
No, I hear you, and I think you're right. I think that's probably the case with most people, particularly with Keeneland opening up. Between the two folks, I'm sure there's more focus on Keeneland. But again, on Wednesdays, things have gotten slim over the past couple of years. And so Tampa, I like Tampa. I follow it all season long. And so it's still in the mix on Wednesdays. And I'll be looking at it this afternoon on TV as well.
Well,
hey, I'm sure you mentioned it earlier, but I'll reiterate because I just saw the other day the season tickets for Saratoga have gone on sale. And so folks should certainly, if you're planning to go more than a handful of times, that's, you know, a good bet, certainly.
$75, including the admission to Travers Day, which is $25 general admission. So take that off. That gets it down to 50. 50 divided by 39, essentially. I mean, it's a joke. The value, if you're going, you know, 7-8 times over the summer, you're crazy not to go buy this. It makes a, you know, gift as well for people.
It was a great move when they did this a few years ago, yeah. Naira. They made a smart move because it's a pat on the back for the folks who are loyal customers and like to go, if not every day, you know, a couple of times a week or something. It makes total sense.
Seth Merrow, everybody. Seth Merrow, too, on your Twitter, and he will be on your television screen later today. Capital OTB. Talk to you next week.
Good luck to everybody.
Seth Merrow, folks, and my man. He's the greatest. All right, let me try to get... Now we're really going to... We're going to tempt fate because we're going to try to get Jeremy Green in from Irish Thoroughbred Marketing. And we'll just have about 5 minutes to introduce conversation. And absolutely delighted to have Jeremy Green join us from ITM. Jeremy, good morning.
Hello, Steve. How are you?
Terrific. And we've got about 5 minutes today just to say hello and introduce you to the to the American audience and particularly to American stakeholders, because so often we're starting to look into, you know, looking at results, and we're seeing more and more, particularly Irish bred and Irish purchased runners that outfits are going out to find.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Thanks for the introduction, Steve. Jeremy Green here from Irish Thoroughbred Marketing. We are a Irish government sponsored body, and we are, you know, it's our role to promote and make Ireland as attractive as possible for inward buyers to come here, also to breed or to race horses here as well. So we're sort of a one-stop shop for that as well, and we just want people to come to Ireland, find a good horse, hopefully, you know, they have a success with it and they want to return. So it's fairly straightforward. There's no charge for any of this. And then very often as well, we'll look after, if they buy a horse, we'll contribute towards travel costs, look after hotels, transport, stuff like that as well. So if they haven't been here before, we make it as straightforward as possible for our visitors. And you were touching on some of the recent successes of Irish bred or sourced horses in the United States. Yeah, there've been a few, and I suppose one of the recurring themes is that they really don't cost a lot of money in the big scheme of things. There was one recently, one of the American Oaks, a horse called Rhea Moon, trained in California by Phil D'Amato. She was €24,000, which, actually, that's another thing at the moment, because the euro against the dollar, it's still fairly cheap. So the average over the last few years has been $1.20 for the euro. Now that's sort of 109. So that differential can often mean that you can ship a horse back to the States free against what it was, say, 2 or 3 years ago in relative terms. But Rhea Moon, she was cheap. Like, going back further, going global, she's moved on to Australia now. She was $15,000, and she won 7 stakes races in America, Group 1 included. Gold Phoenix, there's another one in California. Yep. He won the Frankie Kilroy Mile. He wasn't sold, couldn't find a buyer at his yearling in 2019. So he wasn't sold for €24,000 euros. Shantasara, there's another one, Group 1 winner, €10,000 she was. And then she was trained in France initially and then went to Chad Brown after that. Another one, €10,000 filly, Quattroelle. She was a Group 2 winner, Grade 2 winner recently. She couldn't find a buyer for €10,000 back a few years ago as well. She's trained by Jeff Mullins. And the list goes on and on. There's a Breeders' Cup winner there, such as Twilight Gleaming, that's gone back a couple of years. She was €75,000 at the Orby yearling sales in end of September, and she's won like Breeders' Cup and approaching $1 million. You have a long list there, Steve. I could keep going, but I don't really want to.
No, it's tremendous, We should lay out for everybody the schedule of sales, but I think just because yesterday it caught my eye, the catalog for Gorsbridge went up online yesterday. This is a breeze up.
That's right. Yeah.
They, instead of a 2-year-old in training, the Euro style, the breeze up sales is as you call them. This is Tattersalls, Ireland.
That's right.
And it's going to be 25th and 26th of May.
That's right, yeah. That'll be the 25th, 26th of May, which will be a Thursday, Friday. So they'll breeze on the Thursday at Ferry House. And Ferry House is about half an hour from Dublin Airport. And then they breeze about 2 furlongs. And in the catalogue, it's quite a big catalogue, the biggest one I've seen for Gorsbridge so far. So there's about 245. It's safe to say about 220 or thereabouts will sell. So they'll breeze on the Thursday, and then they'll sell. The sale complex of Tats Ireland is directly across the road from the racetrack, so that's all within striking distance of Dublin City, or there are places much closer as well, Ashburn for example as well. So, you know, people could go to the breeze, go in, stay the night in Dublin. It's quite flexible actually. And then they sell on the Friday. The average price at that sale last year was about $30,000 US, and I'd imagine it'd be something the same this time around. There seems to be, so far, the markets that I've seen to date this calendar year, they've been a little bit softer than last year, so I expect that trend might continue. There's a lot of good horses there. They win those winners in Hong Kong recently, in Australia, obviously all over Europe. In the States has been some too. So it's a good breeze up. It comes in the same week as the Mid-Atlantic breeze up as well in face of Tipton. But it's possible people could do both. And actually, a colleague of mine, David Burns, he's over visiting. He's on the plane now, actually, and he's over visiting Laurel Park this weekend, and also Parks too. So he's hoping to see if he can find some interest from that side of the United States to come over with so much more turf race on the program. You could come over here, find a decent horse, as Puffy outlined before. You don't have to spend a huge amount for them to do pretty well in the States.
Well, I will put up a link to the catalog, and we're going to have regular conversations the next several weeks and to familiarize everybody and let them know what kind of tools are available and how much you guys will help them come over and you know, either find an agent, our friend and benefactor John Parada is getting ready to move over, and John, you know, I'm going to absolutely bring this up with him. He'll be a resource for people actually on this topic. So
I know John. He's a big fan of us over here.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah. But there's so many agents and consigners as well who have done. I mean, I wouldn't be beholden to anyone in particular. I'd be very neutral because that's our remit. We're sort of impartial,
sure.
Very much impartial. But I could easily point out, say off the top of my head, half a dozen agents or consigners that have done very well shipping horses to the States that have gone on and do great. Ask any information on that as well, I'll be happy to point that out. So all they'd have to do is just go to the Irish Thoroughbred Marketing website, itm.ie, and they can just contact us from there, and it'd be no problem. And we just, like you say, it's very old-fashioned hospitality. Come over, they get looked after, please God they find a good horse, and it works out for them.
Jeremy, great start to this. We will check in with you next week, and we direct everybody, itm.ie, and look forward to talking more.
Thanks very much, Steve. Delighted to speak with you, and look forward to the next time. Thanks a million.
Not at all. My pleasure. Jeremy Green, everybody. Irish Thoroughbred Marketing. We were supposed to do something literally 3 years ago before pandemic, and it you know, that threw everything into havoc. So we're going to help you get over there. I mean, 30,000, right? As expensive as babies have gotten, ready-made horses. I'm going to send you in this direction. I'm going to send you to Ireland. Thanks to Dick today. Dick Powell, of course, Hong Kong Jockey Club, and Sid, Sirewatch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale. Mark Cassie joined us, Seth Merrow, and Jeremy Green just now. Irish Thoroughbred Market, itm.ie, and Tattersall for that Boars Bridge sale at the next month. Back with you tomorrow, Thursday at the races. Good luck if you're playing today, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.
At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Nominate now for Penn National's biggest day of the season, the $400,000 Grade 2 Penn Mile and the $150,000 Penn Oaks will both run Friday, June 2nd, on a card that also includes four Pennsylvania bread stakes, each with a $100,000 purse. Call the racing office at Hollywood Casino at Penn National Racecourse, 800-233-8238. That's 800-233-8238. Nominations close May 17th. Nominate now for Penn National's biggest day of the season.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you?
Bassbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner and breeder and stallion owner and developer. It's the best kept secret in racing till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.